Well, good morning, Fellowship. My name is Amy Anderson, and I'm on staff with FSM getting to hang out with our students. And to my left is Jimmy Cummings, a Rogers community pastor. And Hello. We want to be the first to welcome you to Fellowship Rogers' first live service.
Exciting.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things to know about our live services is that it's going to be on our website at fellowshiprogers.org/live. And there'll be a couple different things you'll notice as you watch today. One will be a live chat option. And we hope that you interact with that like you would in a similar way on a Sunday morning with a friend in the foyer. Mm-hmm. Ask questions, mm-hmm. interact about the teaching, share convictions, share your thoughts. Yeah. And then you'll also notice there'll be an option for prayer. And so if you're in need of prayer this morning, or you want someone just to pray with you, please click on that. Mm-hmm. And we would love to pray with mm-hmm. you this morning. And we'll also be streaming on our Facebook page as well. And if you're watching at a later time, we're so glad that you're joining us.
Yes, we are. Right on, Amy. And for those of you who are joining us online, we are so excited that you're here. And we just want to say welcome. Well, Amy, as a part of the student ministry team, can you give a shout out to the students and the parents and share with them what absolutely. We can expect this fall in terms of a ministry plan?
Yeah, absolutely. So many things are changing in our world today, and that might be an understatement. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's not changing for FSM is our heart to make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so we are launching our cell groups in August with hundreds of college students, young adults, and parents ready to make disciples in these junior high and high school groups. And normally our cell groups look like meeting at one home as one large group, but this fall, our strategy is gonna be single-digit discipleship mm-hmm. groups. And so with that, each cell group's gonna have four or five different small groups gathering in four or five different homes across their city. Yeah. And yes, we're doing that for safety, but also for the vision. Because students, we want you to behold Jesus and fall more in love with him. And we want you to know that you belong and that you feel safe and cared for in your small group. And we also want to see you become disciples that love and serve Jesus. Mm. And we believe that this season in FSM history could be one of the most impactful to see that vision come true. So students and parents, if you have questions about FSM or want to get involved, email us at fsmrogers@fellowshipnwa.org. Or you can get connected with us on the app and fill out a new student contact form. Yeah. But overall, we are pumped for the
awesome.
Fall.
Awesome, Amy. Well, we're grateful for your leadership and for everyone on the student ministry team. Thank you for pouring in to our students at Fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Fellowship family, I want to take a couple moments and give you some brief updates about our marriage ministries, beginning with Merge, our 8-week premarital class, which is designed for engaged and seriously dating couples who want to lay a strong foundation for their marriage. Now, registration is currently open, and if you want to register, you can email Jordan with any questions or to register. And the next update we have is about a ministry that I get to be a part of called Reengage. Now, Reengage is a 16-week marriage enrichment experience, and it's designed for all married couples to strengthen and to heal your marriage. And our plan this fall is to launch on September the 20th. Registration will be opening soon, so stay tuned as we release more updates in the coming weeks. Well, Amy, I am so grateful for the leadership of our elders at Fellowship, how they've been seeking God's Spirit for direction and guidance for our church in this season. Mm-hmm. One other thing I'm grateful for is the ways in which we've been able to remain connected through technology in this season.
Kind of like this, right?
Kind of like this, indeed. And yet I have to say at the same time, it just has not been the same. And so Fellowship, I miss you.
We miss you.
We miss
so
you.
So much.
We do. And we believe that this time apart has created a longing within our hearts to be together. And that day will arrive soon enough when we can once again be together, and it's gonna be sweet. In the meantime, though, we want to encourage each other to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to be the church that he's called us to be. Because regardless of what's going on in the world around us, our calling does not change. And that calling is to be the salt and the light of the world. And so today, we begin an exciting new chapter within our clarity season that will explore what it means to be the church. We're also gonna share with you some exciting new strategies about what that means within our specific communities of of Northwest Arkansas. So I want to ask you to join with us in prayer right now as we lift up our Savior and dedicate this service to the Lord. Would you pray with us? Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, we are your people, and we're made for your glory. And you say in your word that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so, Lord, our prayer is that you would shine in us and through us so bright that the world cannot help but taste and see that you are good. Lord, we love you, and it's because you loved us first. And we pray this in your matchless name, Jesus. Amen.
Together. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break, his broken hearts declare his praise, for who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him, our God. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who's come to save, he's here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. Sin of the world, his blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
So, church, as we worship together, as we live our lives together, as we minister together, we know that at the center of all that we are is Jesus Christ. Through him, all things were created, and in him, all things hold together. And so as he commissions us to do his work in this world, as he commissions us to make disciples, to baptize men and women of all nations, let us not be intimidated by that. Because we know that we are backed by the one who cannot and will not be stopped. And therefore, us, the church, we cannot be stopped. So let's keep that in mind as we proclaim his name to the ends of the earth. Let's sing together, Who Can Stop Him?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Sing Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy. There is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. There is no one like you. There is
is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
We are so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. And in the broader Clarity series, we find ourselves looking at the early church. And our question is, how can we see Jesus more clearly as we study his word and as we look at the book of Acts together? I know a question for me has been, how can we be the church in the midst of this social climate? In the midst of all the polarization, how can we be one just as Jesus prayed that we would be one? I feel like A.W. Tozer has given a pretty good answer in his book, The Pursuit of God. So hear this. He says, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to one another, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So, 100 worshipers who meet together, each one of them looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to focus on being unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer fellowship with one another. Social religion is perfected when private religion is purified. The body becomes stronger as its members become healthier. And I summarize the answer to the question this way. The answer to how can we be unified in this time is that we can turn our eyes towards Christ, that we can focus on a personal relationship with our Savior and our lives being marked by devotion, that we turn our eyes to Christ. So I ask you today, is your life marked by devotion to God, or is it marked by distraction in the things of this world? My challenge is that we would turn our eyes to Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So we invite you, as we continue to sing, to pray to God, ask for a heart of devotion to him. Pray that these words would be the cry of your heart and the legacy of your life. We sing together.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. Still, in the moment,
Father, would you lead us step by step, day by day, in your ways and in your truth and by your Spirit. And as Paul wrote in Galatians, that you would help us keep in step with the Spirit, living lives of obedience. And so as we look to your word and we look at what you created to accomplish your mission on this world, we look at the church. God, would you help us to be your hands and your feet, the body of Christ. We love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we want to welcome you who are joining us live today for online worship. And for those of you who are watching at an alternative time, we welcome you as well. We are Fellowship Bible Church. We are a local expression of the global movement of people who profess faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. And we believe that the church is not a place, and that the church is not a meeting or a service, that the church is a people. The church is a community of believers led by the Spirit. And the church, it's a community of believers who are committed to following Jesus daily and to proclaiming the good news of the message of the gospel. And we believe that God intended for the church to be his representatives here on earth. We are his hands and his feet. We are his heart and his voice in this world. God's very presence in the lives of the people whom he created in his image. And our ultimate goal as a church is to bring him glory through persistent devotion to loving Jesus and loving people. Now today we're going to begin a new teaching series on the church. This will be a 6-week focus that's a part of a year-long series entitled Clarity 2020. It's been our goal this year to see Jesus more clearly. And I think we can all agree that we need to see Jesus more clearly now than ever. And for those of you who are new to fellowship, or for those of you who need a reminder, I just want to remind you that our Clarity series has a companion manual, a guide that we are following throughout this year. Within that guide, we have weekly devotions. We have daily Bible readings. We have weekly prayers and questions for reflection. And so we still have 2 more teaching series in this Clarity focus. And so if you would like to pick up one of these guides, then just stop by the office on Pleasant Grove Road and we'll give you one for free. Or you can just go to clarity2020.org and it's all there in a digital format. Now, our church series that's going to carry us from today all the way through the Sunday before Labor Day will be based in the book of Acts. We're going to follow the story of the early church and the spread of Christianity from the city of Jerusalem all the way through the city of Athens as Christianity spread to the center of the world in the first century, which was in Athens. And we're going to try to identify some healthy characteristics or attributes or marks of the church. And it's going to give us the opportunity as a church and as individuals to take a look in the mirror and do some evaluation. Now, my name is Sam Hannon, and I'm the congregational leader and teaching pastor here at Fellowship Bible Church. I specifically minister to the Fellowship Rogers congregation. Fellowship Bible Church of Northwest Arkansas as a whole is made up of 4 congregations. There's Fellowship Fayetteville, there's Fellowship Mosaic, there's Celebrate Recovery, and then there's us, Fellowship Rogers. In the future, we're going to be adding a 5th congregation, Fellowship Bentonville. Now, Fellowship Rogers is kind of new terminology. You might have heard that recently or read that. You might have received an email from us using that name. That is how we are identifying our congregation that meets on Sunday mornings on Pleasant Grove Road when we're not in a pandemic. For many years, our congregation has been known as Fellowship Northwest Arkansas. And we are giving that title back to the overarching organization. And from this point forward, we'll simply be known as Fellowship Rogers. Our congregational website will be fellowshiprogers.org. You can also get there by going to fellowshipspringdale.org. Our Facebook, our Instagram will soon incorporate that name. Now, this congregational name describes where we meet. It doesn't fully describe who we are. Our congregation has people from Bentonville and Bella Vista. We have people from Springdale and Bethel Heights and Lowell. We have people from Gravette and Garfield and Avoca. We have people from Centerton and Cave Springs. The reach of our congregation is broad, but the name reflects our address. We go to church in Rogers. So Fellowship Rogers, let's talk church. Now, one of the things that we've said around here for many years is that we are not impressed with being a big church. Over the years, fellowship has grown from one community group that met in a living room to a very large ministry. But we don't see our size as a sign that indicates that we've arrived or that we've reached the pinnacle of success. Another thing that we say often around here is that we're not looking to be a well-known church or a famous church. Accolades and headlines and notoriety aren't the goal. So what's the mark? We want to be a healthy church. The mark of success for us is not found in our number of campuses. It's not found in our number of services or our weekly attendance. Success is not measured by the size of our budget or the size of our staff. No, the ultimate goal is to glorify God. And we believe the best way to do that is to be a healthy church. So what does a healthy church look like? Now, in order to gain understanding, I want to take us back to ground zero. I want us to go to the original church, to the founding church. For you students who are watching, this is the OG church. For you retailers who are watching, this is store number one. So open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I've asked Kyle Plunkett to come and read the passage to us. He's one of our FSM staff. Kyle?
Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with the awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Kyle. You know, when I hear that passage, first of all, it never gets old. And it always warms my heart. And as a person who's committed myself to being a staff person at a church, it fires me up. Now, it's a beautiful picture of the church, and when we hear it, we might be tempted to think of the early church doing church in the good old days, when church was pure, when it was simple, when it was easy. Hey, but don't forget the background of what was going on around them as they launched that first expression of being a community of Christ followers. First century Jerusalem was a really intense place. In first century Jerusalem, there was all kinds of tension. There was political strife. The city of Jerusalem was actually under the rule of the Roman Empire. So King Caesar ruled through local authorities like Herod or Pontius Pilate, and he enforced Roman law through Roman soldiers. First century Jerusalem was occupied territory. And there was also religious and racial tension. Jerusalem was occupied by Jewish people and Arabs and Greeks. There were many languages spoken and many religions expressed. In fact, your racial identity or your religious identity often defined how you would be treated. And here we have this newly formed religion, this newly formed expression called Christianity that had just departed violently from the traditional theology of their Jewish ancestors. So there was religious and racial tension. And there was also a threatened safety for these Christians. This was an unstable time for them. Remember that this is just over 50 days removed from the crucifixion of Jesus. So there was an atmosphere of fear and intimidation. And then there was economic pressure. Many people in this time were struggling just to survive or to put food on the table. And we'll see that later in today's passage. So let's just say that the early church operated in less than ideal conditions. Adversity was the norm. The everyday climate was intense. Yet this group of believers had to figure out how to be the church. They had to figure out how to express their faith in their context and circumstances. And the calling of the church did not change because the circumstances were difficult. The church had to navigate the challenges that came across its path. And the early church did just that. They figured out how to have a healthy expression of church in the midst of less than ideal or even adverse conditions. So here's what I want to do. Let's work through the passage verse by verse, and I want to identify four key descriptions of the early church. First, note their devotion in Acts 2:42. It describes the church this way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The first church was devoted. They were committed. They were focused. They were zealous for the Lord. Their faith wasn't optional for them. It was everything. It wasn't a side item. It didn't appear to be a casual thing in their life. They had an all-in kind of approach to their spiritual life. There was passion. There was a sense of allegiance to the Lord. Now, to be devoted to something is to be fully and faithfully and consistently committed. It is to be sacrificially loyal. It is to consider something so important and so dear that it becomes a priority. Devotion drives us to pursue something without counting the cost. It causes us to push through hindrances and obstacles. When we're devoted, we find that there's little competition for our attention. There's an ease. There's an eagerness to give our time, our energy, our emotion, or our resources. Have you ever been devoted to something? Can you think of something that has captured your loyalty or your allegiance? I know for me, one comes to mind that's really easy. I'm devoted to my family. When it comes to Amy, my wife, and our kids, there's an unending supply of commitment and passion, and it renews each day. If I'm busy, I want to make a way to be available. If I find that there's a need, I want to figure out a way to meet it. If I find that there's a threat, I want to find a way to eliminate it. They have my heart. They have my calendar. They have my checkbook. I'm all in for the Hannon family. There is no doubt. I don't need to find the motivation. It's just naturally there. There's this deep-seated devotion to them within me. What about you? Can you think of an example of something in your life that you've been devoted to, that you've been devoutly committed to? Maybe you're devoted to your work. You're a company man or a company woman. You've devoted yourself passionately and sacrificially to your career. Or maybe you're devoted to a hobby. For you students or children out there watching with your families, maybe you've been devoted to a sport or learning to play a musical instrument. Or maybe you've been devoted to a cause. Can you think of something that you've been devoted to? Well, are we devoted to the Lord? Have we sacrificially, have we pledged our allegiance to our spiritual walk? Now, the passage describes the early church as being devoted, and it mentions several things that they were devoted to. Look back at the passage. It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let's talk about these. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to God's word, the truth of God revealed in the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. They were committed to the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles, which were the emerging New Testament scriptures. They were devoted to what God had to say to them. You know, you can't have authentic, orthodox, effective ministry or church apart from God's word. The Bible is central to the faith. To follow Jesus is to take God's word and then put it into action. A Christ follower is committed to hearing and studying and memorizing the scriptures. And then we obediently put them into action. And that's certainly true of our church. And we don't hide it. It's right in our name. We are Fellowship, what? Fellowship Bible Church. And so we are devoted to the authoritative, infallible, inerrant scriptures that reveal the Son of God and the will of God. So the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. And they were also devoted to fellowship. They were committed to one another. They were devoted to authentic community. Now, the original biblical language that translates the word fellowship in English comes from the Greek word koinonia. And koinonia describes a caring community, an intimate union, a holy partnership. It's what happens when the Holy Spirit brings people together to live intentionally with one another, to live in life-on-life ministry with one another. Koinonia transcends just gathering together and sharing some food. It means to share heart-to-heart, life-on-life with one another. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and there was a couple more. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, many theologians believe that these two are a subset of the fellowship, that the fellowship, the koinonia, when gathered, broke bread together and they prayed together. So the unified community was committed to spiritual practices. Now, the breaking of bread. Now, some believe that that's just sharing a meal together. Other theologians believe that it's referring to communion. And so this spiritual community was committed to communion. They were committed to prayer. Prayer is the native tongue of the church. Communion is the worshipful reminder of what Christ did for us on the cross. We are a people of prayer, and we are a people of the cup. These are the practices of the church. So bring it all together. They were devoted to the word, devoted to authentic community, devoted to prayer, and devoted to communion. Now let's stop right here. I mentioned earlier that this study was going to give us the opportunity to look in the mirror and evaluate both as a church and as individuals. And here's our first opportunity. Question: how's your devotion? How would you evaluate your commitment to, your allegiance to Jesus Christ? How's your commitment to his word and his church, to weekly and daily spiritual practices? Are you all in? Would you consider yourself inconsistent? You have the right heart, but you get busy, you get distracted. Would you consider your devotion to be shallow? You talk more about your love for the Lord than you practice it? Or would you consider your devotion to be lifeless? How would you evaluate your devotion? And then how would you evaluate the devotion of our church? Are we a community of people who take this thing seriously? Or are we a collection of people who have a shallow and casual approach to our faith? Well, second description. First, they were devoted. Next, they were unified. Look at verses 43 to 45. They say this: everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Verse 43 describes an inspired community. They were filled with awe and wonder, overwhelmed by the power of God being put on display through the signs and wonders and miracles of the apostles. I want us to focus on verse 44. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. It describes the oneness that results from a Holy Spirit-led community. They were together as one. They were experiencing solidarity. There was harmony. They weren't divided by what made them different. They didn't let their differences like gender or race or theology or politics or economic status tear them apart. What they had in common was more important than what made them different. They emphasized the we over the me. The community was a greater priority than the individual. You know, I found that unity comes at a cost. Togetherness is not cheap. It calls for us to sacrifice ourselves. It calls for us to lay down our rights, to subdue our own preferences and desires for the greater good. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 describes unity and its cost perfectly. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. They were together and had everything in common. And this unity expressed itself through generosity. Look at verse 45. It says they were generous caregivers to one another. As needs arose in this community, they made sacrifices to meet those needs, selling some of their possessions and properties. Verse 45 is a radical commitment to meeting the needs of one another within the church community. Hey, I want to encourage you, Fellowship. We've said for years that we want to be known as a generous church. And I've observed you over the last few years, and your generosity has blown me away. Through your tithes and offerings, through your commitments to our capital campaigns, like right now, our Fellowship Bentonville project, and through just caring for one another, needs that arise in the church and needs that arise in the community. Your generosity is off the charts. And I think that the Lord smiles down on us as a church that expresses care through generosity. So the early church, they were unified. They were together. They were harmonious. So let's stop again and look in the mirror. If the standard of health for the church is being unified, how do you think we're doing as a church? Are we together and have everything in common? And how would you evaluate your individual contribution? Are you building oneness or are you creating division? And I'm going to get more specific on this one. I'm going to give you three tests. Are you creating unity or division in these three areas? Number one, politics. I said that. Guys, it's an election year. Not everybody's going to agree. And I'll be honest, no one's right. Are you creating unity or division when it comes to our political landscape? Second test. How about racial reconciliation? Our world right now is experiencing some upheaval. There's a lot of passion points being expressed. Are you creating unity or division when it comes to racial harmony? Third test, coronavirus. Are you creating unity in the body of Christ or division when it comes to your opinion about how to handle the current pandemic? Are your words, your actions promoting the we or the me? And can I offer one more little application here? Some of you need to get off of Facebook. You need to cancel your account because some of your posts, some of your words are doing damage to the name of Christ, and they're divisive and they're harmful. Now let's move on. Next description. They were devoted. They were unified. And look at verse 26. They were persistent. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They met together every day. They met in the temple courts and they met in homes. They worshiped and prayed and learned together and they shared meals together. They gathered and they scattered. They had large group experiences and small group experiences. And their devotion to loving Jesus and loving others wasn't just shallow talk. They backed it up with action, persistently. Each day they expressed their faith. They were consistent. They were relentless. They were disciplined about meeting together and pursuing the Lord. And they weren't easily distracted or disrupted. And they seemed to like it. The passage describes them as being grateful. They were praising the Lord. They had glad and sincere hearts. They were experiencing the favor of God and the favor of one another. Again, let's stop right here. Our third opportunity to look in the mirror and evaluate. How are you doing on spiritual persistence? Do you regularly meet with God? Are you regularly gathering with others? You know, COVID-19's put us to the test. It's thrown off our rhythms. It's disrupted our normal spiritual expressions. It's forced us into alternative delivery systems. We now worship online. Our ability to gather has been limited or hindered in our small groups. Are you waiting for normal to return? Or have you decided to create a new normal for spiritual rhythms and expression? And how about your community group? Have you been persistently meeting together? Last description. They were devoted. They were unified. They were persistent. And look at this last one. They were contagious. Look at the last line of the passage. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They grew in number daily. New people came to know the Lord every day. We call that within the church revival. The Lord was doing a mighty work in their midst. And there was just something about this community that was so attractive or inviting. They're glad in their sincere hearts. Their genuine care for one another. Their devotion to the Lord spread to those around them. Their faith was contagious. Their genuine love for Jesus infected those who came in contact with it. And they boldly proclaimed the gospel message, the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and new people came to believe. Think about that, what that means. Every day, a new person moved from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. Every day, someone new experienced freshly the forgiveness of God. Every day, someone new was brought into this loving, caring community. It's a powerful description. It's a church that not only took care of one another within the body, but they also looked outside of themselves to do ministry and help others find eternal life in Jesus. Let's stop right here. Last chance. And let's look in the mirror. Is our faith, are we as a church, are we expressing our faith in such a way that it's contagious? Are we looking outside of ourselves to share the goodness of the Lord? Are we proclaiming the gospel of Jesus? It's my hope that we as a church, Fellowship Bible Church, that we continue to add to our number daily. Remember, we're not looking to be a big church. We're not trying to be a well-known church. We want to be a healthy church, and healthy things grow. Acts 2, it describes a healthy church, unified, devoted, persistent, contagious. Let's try to boil it all down to one statement. Let's try this one. A church devoted to truly loving God and others is contagious. A healthy church is not only effective, it's infectious. A healthy church, a healthy community of believers who sincerely and persistently and passionately are devoted to loving God and to loving people is a powerful force. I want to close with this. I want us to talk about our church. How can we be the church at Fellowship Rogers? And don't forget, we're ministering in less than ideal conditions. The year 2020 has thrown a lot at us. There's political strife. We're in an election year. There's racial tension. We're in the midst of great social upheaval. There's economic pressure. We're experiencing an unprecedented level of unemployment and need and stress on our economy. And we're in a pandemic. We're knee-deep in a medical crisis that has brought disruption to every area of our life. So during this specific time in history, at this point on the map, how can we, Fellowship Rogers, be the church? And I want to suggest to you that waiting to return to normal is not a strategy. We can't sit around waiting for our normal rhythms and our normal expressions and our normal strategies to resume. So Fellowship Rogers, let's talk fall strategy for our church. How will we gather and how will we scatter this fall? How do we do worship and small groups? Let's talk about worship first. We're going to continue to worship via an online format until our elders deem it safe to return to in-person worship services. We're going to be broadcasting live at 9:30, fellowshiprogers.org/live, or you can join us on Facebook, or you can watch anytime during the week. I want to encourage you to begin to worship together, either worship together as a family or even get your small group together to worship. Worship is not canceled. Worship is not suspended. We are a worshiping community. We just have a different delivery system and rhythm. So don't shrink back from passionately and persistently worshiping the Lord. Secondly, how do we scatter? How do we do small groups? Well, Fellowship is a church of small groups. We're not just a church with small groups. Small groups are a primary means in which we can be the church. So if you think about it, we're actually structured or designed to thrive in a season where decentralization has been forced. So how do we fulfill our small groups strategy in an abnormal season? Well, this fall, we're launching a strategy called Circles of Six. Now, what in the world is that? Well, a circle of six, it's six people making four commitments to the Lord and to one another, expressing themselves for 4 months. In order to do effective small group ministry in this season, we've got to get smaller. We've got to make small groups the right size to meet safely under CDC guidelines. You heard that expressed about our student ministry. It will also be true of our adult ministry. And we've got to keep it simple. We've got to make our goals easily attainable for a broad group of people. And then the approach has to vary, both the approach of how to meet, but also who to gather with. It starts with six people. You could begin within your current community group if you're signed up for one. You could take all of the guys from your community group and meet. You could take all the ladies and let them meet. You could take three couples from your community group or two couples and a couple of single people. You could gather with some friends or neighbors or coworkers that you're currently hanging out with and start a new group. Now, don't get hung up on the number six. If you want to start with five, that's fine. If you want to gather with seven or eight, the principle is to get small and leave room for growth where you can add to your number over the course of the 4 months. And then make four commitments to one another. Here they are. First commitment, spiritual devotion. We want you to commit to studying the Bible and to praying together. In our Clarity series, we're going to be studying 1 Thessalonians this fall. And so we want you to gather and study the word in prayer, just like we saw in today's passage. And then we want you to be persistent about meeting together. Figure out a way for your group to meet safely and consistently. Now, a group of six could probably safely gather in a home. Again, social distance, and you might even wear a mask. You could definitely gather outside on a patio or a back porch. You might even wear masks then. But a group of six, a circle of six, could definitely gather online. And it's my recommendation that all groups have an online backup plan ready to go, because you never know when you're going to get that call that someone's been exposed and they therefore cannot come to group. Third commitment, genuine care. Now more than ever, we need to care for one another very well. So we need to commit to praying for one another and encouraging one another and serving one another. And you can do that within your circle of six. Last commitment, we want to have intentional impact. So every group needs to ask two questions. Who can we serve and who can we invite? We want you to adopt a cause within your group, and we want you to think about who's that next couple or that next single person that you can invite into your circle. So fellowship, here's the question. Who is going to be in your circle this fall? Who can you reach out to and help them be the church? I believe that the church is the hope of the world, and that the world is in desperate need of hope. We need to be the church, a church that's passionately and intensely devoted to loving God and others is unstoppable and it's contagious. And our calling doesn't change just because our circumstances have become difficult. May we be the church this fall. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, would you glorify yourself through Fellowship Bible Church this fall? Make your name known and famous in our community. And Lord, I pray that you would lead each one of us in how we are to express our spirituality within this community of believers. Lord, I pray that our online worship services would reach from Northwest Arkansas around the country and around the world this fall. And Lord, I pray that there would be more circles of six, more small groups than we've ever had before, and people would be loved well. And Lord, new people would hear the good news of Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Let this be our prayer, fellowship. We sing.
Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us.
Thank you for worshiping with us this week. We look forward to seeing you next week. Fellowship, go and be the church.